said, I got a big amen while you was gone. I said, y'all praise my wife, she doesn't take me home every day when I leave here. You know why my wife keeps me around all these years? Because she likes old things. She collects old things. Daniel chapter 5 this morning. I'm glad you're here this morning. And I don't want to try to never do nothing to quench the Spirit of God. I really don't. But I just have to kind of remind you of some things every now and then. Paul took over there when he's writing one of his letters. He's going to say these things so you know how to behave yourself in church. And some things you just got to be reminded sometimes. Amen. Well, it is good to be in the Lord's house. I thank God for salvation. I appreciate Brother James. He has a lot to put up with me. But he's been faithful. He's a dedicated friend. We may not talk every day or every other day, or we may only see each other when we're at church. But I want to tell you one thing about him. He'll always be the same before you see him. Everywhere I see him, he's always the same. If I bump into him in Walmart or McDonald's or see him fishing, he comes down here and Philip come fishing on Friday, I believe it was a little while. And just the same calm, mild man, he's got a smile. Try to be what God wants him to be, and I appreciate that. In Daniel chapter 5, I'm going to read the whole chapter, 31 verses. You got to hear it all to get it all. Amen. Belshazzar, the king, made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the 1,000. Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring the golden and silver vessels which his father, Nebuchadnezzar, had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem, that the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines might drink therein. Then they brought the golden vessels that were taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem, and the king and his princes, his wives, and his concubines drank in them. They drank wine and praised the gods, little g, of gold and of silver and of brass and of iron, of wood, and of stone. In the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. He's probably thinking about that time I had way yonder too much to drink. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, and the king spake, and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing, and show me the interpretation thereof, shall be clothed with scarlet, and have a chain of gold about his neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lord were astonished. Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lord, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom in whom is the spirit of the holy gods. And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him whom the king, Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel whom the king named Belshazzar, unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel, which art of the children of captivity of Judah, whom the king my father brought out of Judah? I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. And now the wise men, this problem have been brought in before me, that they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I have heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing, make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet, have a chain of gold about thy neck, and thou shalt be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be to thyself, and give thy rewards to another. Yet I will read the writing unto the king, and make known to him the interpretation. O thou king, the Most High God, big G, gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom, and majesty, glory, and honor, and for the magistrate, then he gave him all people, nations, and languages trembled and feared before him, whom he would, he slew, and whom he would keep alive, and whom he would, he set up, and whom he would, he put down. But when his heart was lifted up, and his mind hardened in pride, he was deposed from his kingly throne, and they took his glory from him. He was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like a beast, and his dwelling was with wild asses, and fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, El Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart. Though thou knewest all this, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven, and they have brought the vessels of his house before thee, and thou and thy lords, thy wives, and thy concubines have drunk wine in them. Thou hast praised the gods of silver and gold and brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thou breathe is, and whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and this writing was written. And this is the writing that was written, Mene, Tekel, Usher. That is the interpretation of me, of the thing, Mene, God hath numbered thy kingdom and finished it, Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and art found wanting, Perez, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, and they clothed Daniel with scarlet, with a chain of gold on his neck, made a proclamation concerning him that he should be the third ruler in the kingdom. And in that night, Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, was slain. And Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. So that was a whole lot of reading. I'm going to summarize it for you in just a minute. But I want to pray first and pray God help me. I want to bring a message this morning. Boy, if these walls could talk. Boy, if these walls could talk. Let's pray. Lord, help us now. Thank you for your word. Lord, I thank you there's truth in your word. And Lord, let us convey that to you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Convey that truth to our hearts today. Let us make an appropriate application as you see fit. What you do, we'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. In our text, the wicked, ungodly king Belshazzar, the son of another wicked king, Nebuchadnezzar, is having a big party. They're getting a groove on. Somewhere along the way, in a drunken condition, he commands that the vessels that were in the temple, notice I said were, are to be brought into where the party's going on. And they start using those same vessels that God intended to be used for the work and the glory of God, and they begin to use them in a sensual, worldly manner. In other words, by their actions, they're saying, we don't care, we'll do what we want to, when we want to, and God ain't going to do a thing about it. That right side over there. Now, he said, what's that got to do with us today? Well, I'll get to that in a minute. Galatians 6 and 7, don't turn all the eyes, just want to read you this verse. You've heard me quote it before, but it says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Now the word mock simply means to make fun of or to make a joke out of. So God's already judged his wicked debt. You would think that would have made a lasting impression on the son, wouldn't you? But here he is, he's having a big old party, and he says, you know, I'm the king, and I'll do exactly what I want to do, and I really don't care what nobody thinks about it. God didn't mean nothing to my daddy, and God don't mean nothing to me. Sad to say, that's where America is today. And it's almost like I preached this one time, that our generation, my generation, I'm 53 years old, generation that I call my generation, it's almost like our generation jumped timing somewhere. Because when I look back down through the rolls of my family and go back as far as my great-grandparents were faithful to church and loved God and served God, my grandparents were faithful to God, served God, loved God. My parents were faithful to God, loved God, served God. Seems like when my crowd come along, they said, I'll do what I want to, when I want to, how I want to. And y'all keep it on church house stuff down there, because I tell you what, I got something else I want to do on Sunday. I mean, I come along in the days of the blue law when stores were closed on Sunday. I come along in the days when Bob Lloyd did it, when Miss Lloyd opened up the first 7 to 11 store we'd ever seen. We was the most exciting time you'd ever seen. We all piled up the car and went to the 7-Eleven store because they was open on Sunday. Just because they was open on Sunday, it was a novelty. He said, man, y'all a bunch of hit rednecks. We sure are. Still are. Amen? Hey, we didn't have air conditioning. My mom's house, my nephew and his wife lives there now. They got a couple of window units. Still doesn't have central air conditioning. Didn't ever did have when we were home. We'd go to Kmart in Burlington on Sunday afternoon just to get cooled off. Walk around the store for hours. I know what color it is. It don't bother me, all right? That's what we did. There wasn't a lot to do, amen. You either went around, y'all remember the days of going around and bitching on people's porches?
Yep.
Don't see that no more, do you? I mean, we live in a day and time now, and the generation has come along. I mean, my youngins, and I thank God all three of my girls are in church. They're serving God, trying to do right. I tell you what, I see a lot of families. And they know because they got no more care for the house of God. They're doing their own thing, man. I ain't got time for all that old timey stuff.
Right.
All that old timey stuff y'all talk about, I ain't got time for all that mess. Tell me about, y'all always want to talk about what used to happen. What's happening now?
Right.
That's one problem we have.
That's right.
Amen. It ain't that God don't want to do something now. We just ain't seen much happen now.
That's right.
I tell you what, if we keep going where we're going right now, when my crowd and I roll, there's not going to be no more old-time religion in America.
Right.
And I'm going to tell you what, if we're dropping out faster than we're coming, they're dropping off faster than they're coming on the scene, amen? I used to go around to camp meetings and jubilees, and I'd see scores of teenage boys that's been called to preach, man. They'd be sitting on the front row with their Bible on their lap wide open, just hoping they got to stand up and preach for 5 minutes. Now I go, I see more gray hair than I do young hair.
Right.
Amen? I see more order, but you know why? Because old time religion, the appeal of the old time ways falling away. It's going away. People are going to this new thing. We don't need to do it that old time. And they ought to take a clue and look back on what's happened to America. Where's America at today? You see, that was the wealth that said to get a preach on this week. America's come under a terrorist attack again this week. Yeah, man, now help me now. Don't cry a moment. Hey, I'll tell you what, this Muslim crowd, they say, whoa, that's a religion of peace. Well, why? How do you keep blowing people up there? I never have heard of independent Baptists going out blowing about it because they like what somebody believes.
The Muslim outfits got two options
for you. You need to convert to the way they believe, or they're going to kill you one of them. That's one or two options. And they'll tell you that. If they'll be honest with you, they'll tell you that. You can read it for yourself. Amen. It's It's there. They got a book called the Koran. They got their version of the King James. It's the Koran. Amen. And hey, I tell you what, I thank God today. I don't want to ever be caught in the spot where I'm going to be judged of God for making light of the things of God and making a joke out of the things of God. I put a real high premium on the things of God. You say, I don't know what my youngins are saying. Well, church didn't mean nothing to my daddy, so don't mean nothing to me. By the way, if you have an effect on whether you believe it or not, and you may say, oh, no, they make their own mind. They make up their own mind. They make their own decisions. Yeah, but a lot of what they decide is based on what they see you do. Amen? Now, that's the reason digestion bitch word, but wait, there's more. He saw that hand, and he realized, maybe, just maybe, he's not in charge anymore. God has done come along and tagged his wall. That's what the gang members do. They tag you, right? He's got real busy trying to find somebody who can understand the words that God has spoken, because he knows that it wasn't an ordinary thing that happened. And so far, he goes through all he's got, and he reverts to, or he concedes to somebody who knows the God with the big G, amen, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and Daniel is brought in, and he delivers the message. Now, God ain't talking to us today like he could talk to us. I ain't saying that he might not do it again. But God gives you a preacher and a pastor, and he's placed me here to try to deliver the message. And he don't necessarily have to write on the wall anymore. Because the Word of God is going forth today all across our nation. And there might be small crowds like this scattered here and there and here and there and here and there. But praise be to God, the message is still going out. And I'm not talking about some watered down, you're okay, I'm okay, God loves everybody, we're all God's little children. We're not all God's little children, amen? You might be all God's creation, but you're not God's child if you're not saved by the good grace of God. So I got to thinking, I was out here the other week cleaning up the church. And I thought, boy, if these walls could talk, I wonder what they'd say. And I got to go along with the different pews. But boy, if these pews could talk, I wonder what they'd say. I did think about some worldly things just in way of introduction as my mind wandered here a little bit. I thought, if these pews could talk, I'd know who's going to nasty the toenails they are on the pew right here where somebody's been cutting their toenails while I'm trying to preach. And it can't be nobody's fingernails I'm fighting. Now, several of us in here clean the church. Now, am I lying about it? You find where people done all kinds of grooming in here. And this ain't the place. Amen? This ain't the day-by-nail place. Amen? Go somewhere and get you a pair of pruning shears and cut yourself loose. Do your cleaning up somewhere else, not in the house of God. Amen? Right? You know I'm right about it. Hey, I walk along sometimes. I'm just talking right now. I ain't preaching yet. I walk along. Now, some of y'all have clean church. You say a good hearty amen, it'd be all right. I walk along sometimes, and I say, I wonder if these folks don't like their hats like the shoes when they go in their hats. If the pews could talk, and they'd say, these people here ain't never been taught to wipe their feet. That's right, isn't it?
Yes.
You see, you're in the greatest place. You go in, you go to Walmart, some of y'all will, or Walmart, or Food Line, or anywhere that you do business. And I dare to say that some of y'all will treat the people in the stores with more respect, and you'll treat the building with more respect than you do the house of God. Now, if you can justify that one, you let me know how to do it, because I ain't no way you can turn that one and make it look right. When I was a youngster, I used to build model cars. I learned something about model cars, Alan. Every one you built seemed like had one side that was better than the other side. You'd always put that one on the shelf. You wouldn't put the bad side. You'd always make sure you turn it. I mean, if it looked better from that angle, that's what you, if it looked better from that angle, you know, you see what I'm trying to make. There's some things that we do, there just ain't no way that you can turn it around. Man, there ain't no way I'm turning that around to make it look good.
There's some things that we just do that there's no way that you can turn it around and make it look good. There's some things that we say that you say, hey, no, I wouldn't pretend the way he could. That some of y'all probably thinking about me this morning. I wish our pastor would be more discreet about some of the things he says. If I was, you wouldn't get it. I talk on a level that we can understand, don't we? Amen. I'm not being critical this morning. I love y'all, but I'm gonna tell you what. If these walls could talk, what would they say? Now let's get on the spiritual note. This is the message. If these walls could talk, I wonder what they talk to me about. Well, I think they talk about the song of Zion. Amen. Oh my, how I've heard this place jump. Amen. I've been here before when I felt like the whole world shook. I remember, hey folks, I remember a choir of five and no piano. But you know what folks say? I want people to sing. Hey, we can sing. If you got a song, sing. I don't care. Hey, I don't care that everything's not always just right. Amen. Hey, I just want to see somebody get so excited about singing about the glory of God that something gets started up. Amen. I remember Miss Walker sitting over there, and you would think, to listen to her sing, you say, man, that woman right there, sweet little lady, she doesn't have the ability to sing. She doesn't sing the notes right. She doesn't do these things right. But every now and then we start singing Amazing Grace, and I see that little hand go up in the air. She wasn't even strong enough to stand as everybody else stand and sung, but I could see that little hand up in there, and I could see that little hanky. And when you got over there on that second verse, where it said, through many troubled toils and snares, I have already come, and she'd start weeping, and I'd see those tears run down that sweet, wrinkled face, and you know what she was saying? I know what he's talking about. I know what the songwriter meant. Hey, I tell you what, I believe these walls are talking about that. I believe these walls are talking about the songs of Zion when they rung out of this place. I believe also these walls are talking about the times of silence when there was no song. When it seemed like people just didn't really care. I'm going to tell you, I don't know what's harder. I've done a lot of different things. People ask me, so what did you enjoy the most about pastoring over the years? I said, it's going to sound silly now, listen to me. Probably the thing that I've enjoyed the most about pastoring over these 15 years is the many years that I got to teach Sunday school. Seemed like I had more fun teaching Sunday school. But the hardest thing I've ever done is not pastoring. Now, the hardest thing I've ever done is lead singing. And it's not because I don't know how to sing. I can do enough to make you laugh. I'm not. It's not that I don't know how to sing that makes lead singing so hard. What made lead singing so hard is looking out there on people's faces and saying, man, if anybody's got anything to sing about, it ought to be them. Mm-hmm. Amazing grace. Now we. I mean, really? Seriously? Is that the best you got? This is God we're talking about, man. This is God we're talking about. This is our Savior we're talking about. Is that the best you got? What about if God's hand showed up this morning, Brother James, and said, you just sung about the blood. Is that the best you can do? I mean, is that all you got? You went in and applied for a job, you know. I'm not picking on you. You got a call tonight. So, Brother James, we've heard about you. We've heard about your military record. We've heard about your record with UNC. We're a nationwide Fortune 500 company. We want you to come to work with us, and whatever your salary is right now, we'll triple it. You don't need to fill out any applications. You don't need to fill out any resumes. All you need to do is just come. We want to meet with you in person and talk to you about the job's yours.
kind of don't think you wear your fishing hat to go there. I kind of don't think you not try to brush this little bit back on the side. You probably do like I do. You shave twice that morning. That's a military thing. You'd make sure everything was just right. And you walked in and you shook hands, and maybe you didn't shake quite as firm as you normally do. And the man said, "Wow, is that the best you got?" You'd break his arm off him. You look like what a car do. You'd be picking him up off the floor, right? And they said, tell us about your military background there, Brother Jack. Well, I've been in the Army Reserves, 30 good times. Pretty cool, I enjoyed it. They say, is that the best you got? And you'd pull out everything, every award you'd ever received. I mean, you'd have it all in a big box. You'd have it up. Well, I served here, and I was sent over here to do this, and I was sent over there to do that, and they sent me to Texas, and they sent me here, and they sent me there, and I served under this command. You name every commander you ever served under. You name everything, every weapon you've ever trained on, any kind of special stuff you ever learned. You have it all up now. You know why? Because it was important to you, and you wanted that job. Now, if God's really important, couldn't we sing out to Him like we really should? I'm not fishing for nothing this morning. I'm not mad. Trust me, my wife can tell you. I started about a year ago writing the date that God gave me the message, because I know a lot of times God will give me a message and it's something that's exactly related to something that's going on right now. God gave me a message this week while I was preparing that message. I may preach it not only while I was preparing that message. There was three news stories I heard on the Christian station I was listening to on the internet right then that stuck in my mind. I even noted them in my notes. Three things happening right now in America. So I'm not mad. I didn't get this when I come in the sound system and messed up today, all right? Amen. Spent about a month together. Okay, so don't say, "Oh, he gets this, gets up there, and this." He's just a bully. I'm not a bully. I've known some bullies, but I ain't one. Amen.
Amen.
The songs of Zion. Aren't you glad that we can sing the songs of Zion? Right. What would it talk about? Would it? How about the conversation? The conversions. I meant to say. No, I ain't even got the conversations yet. How about conversions? We may have never seen a Pentecost or ever had great numbers, but I believe in God's eyes all are important, don't you? I remember children getting saved all over this building, some in the basement, some out in the yard, some around this altar. Families getting put back together. And yes, some families falling apart. I'm sure that these walls could talk. They talk about those who surrendered to the call of service. Those who surrendered to the call of salvation. Amen. Thank God there's been some conversion. There's been some changes in some people's lives. Yeah. I don't ever want, you know what, I don't ever want the hand of God right on the wall of the Baptist Church. The end. Yeah. I don't ever say the end. Mm-hmm. You know, every time somebody gets right with God, God records it in heaven. I believe these walls can talk. They talk about conviction. These walls, I believe, have to talk about the times the folks have been crushed under a heavy conviction. I've seen folks hang on the tackle of a few. I thought they'd actually break it off in their hands and pat them in over. You probably would have. I've seen folks hit this altar so hard with a blow of conviction, and I've seen them hit the door trying to run from conviction too. I've seen people literally jerk out when I was trying to shake their hand, literally jerk away from me and run to their car. Conviction. Conviction. I've had people tell me, as I would talk to them on the way out, and they said, "There's too much pressure around this place. There's too much pressure around this place." It's not pressure put on by me. That's conviction. I believe these walls will talk about conviction. I believe these walls, hey, this is not what they talk about at times that God's convicted my life in this church. Your pastor's not perfect. Hey, there's been lots of times when I fall under conviction here. I'd be preaching something, God would show me something in my own notes, and I'd fall under conviction about it.
Conviction, they talk about conviction. I believe these walls will talk about deceit. These walls, I believe, will talk about those who make their mission in life to try to deceive others. Yeah. Sometimes husbands, sometimes wives, sometimes children, sometimes church folks deceived each other, deceived the pastor. Yeah, these walls have recorded every false profession of faith, every shout and holler, amen, has been shouted. And every deceitful, wicked thought has been thought. Mm-hmm. I believe these walls are talking about unconcern. These walls are recorded in the rolls of heaven. Many have been unconcerned. Unconcerned about the church building. When we first came out here, God blessed in such a mighty way and we saw things happen so fast it was like a snowball rolling down the hill. I was still doing remodeling work at that time, and I said, I told the men in the church, about three men here, I said, I really would like to come in and do some work on the church. It's okay. They said, who's going to pay for it? I said, I'll cover the cost. So it's fine. All you pay for it, you do whatever you want to. Come here, we prayed, the ceiling was white, the ceiling was dingy, grungy, I won't even mention in God's pulpit while that was. The front doors out there were those doors with a little starburst in the top of them. It's real dark in here, dark panel. Of course, the panel stayed for several years. We didn't do all of this, I think, until about 2000, sometime early in 2000. But we began to do work on church. We remodeled the bathrooms downstairs. The bathrooms were terrible. I mean, just little simple things that made a big impact right away. You know, sometimes you do things that makes a big impact right away. We had one of the men in the church, I noticed his countenance kept getting falling. I didn't think getting no lower than it was, but it kept getting lower and lower and lower. It seemed like he was just so unhappy. And I said, brother, what do you think about the work around the church? You hadn't said anything about it because, some people just so excited to see things done. They were so excited that something was actually getting done, you know. And then the younger people, the new people that had just come in, that just got saved, they were just excited to be a part of something and not be out in the world doing something that the world said was okay, but doing something that God said was good. And this man told me, he said, I just don't really think much about it. I said, you don't? What do you mean you don't think much about it? He said, well, I'm just going to be honest with you. He said, it's starting to look better than my house does, and I don't like that very much. Oh man, how unconcerned about the house of God can you be? Like, I thought about if these walls could talk. They tell us who writes on the walls. Sometimes people write on the walls. Sometimes people write on the pews. They talk about unconcern over missions, unconcern over finances, unconcern over souls. These walls could talk. You know what? Some of us would be in deep trouble with. We used to do this thing, I promise to say this in closing, but I'm going to say it while I'm thinking about it. We used to do this thing usually two or three times a year where we'd run a big drug operation, run a big sting operation. Guys that work drugs would get out and try to buy, they'd buy drugs from many people, they'd buy drugs from and all these kind of things. But they wouldn't arrest them right then, they'd wait and they'd get grand jury indictments. Because there's a little more force to having a grand jury indictment in your hand than just having a warrant. Because anybody can go down to get a warrant. But you've got to have some real good, strong evidence to get a grand jury. You serve a grand jury indictment on somebody, you cut out some of the preliminary stuff, and it's like go to jail, go to regular jail, not pass go, you're not let to, and all that kind of thing. And it was real exciting when we knew it was time, finally, everything had come to a close, and the grand jury was handing down those indictments. We'd have a guy standing outside the grand jury room, just like a youngin' at Christmas. And when they would bring him out one at a time, and man, he was so excited. And it's his job. He had the greatest job in the world, and it was his job to hold all those indictments and bring them down to us so we could serve them. He might be a nobody. He might have just been somebody that just worked in the jail. Somebody that was off that day we felt was young and ignorant enough to come in for nothing. But he'd hold all those indictments and he'd bring them to us. Because the grand jury has handed down the indictments. What an indictment means is there's a group of people here that said that based on the evidence, you're guilty.
writes on the wall. That's what he says. Based on what I've seen, you're guilty. That's what he told their chapter, right? He said, kingdom is over. Time's up. You're gonna die. In other words, Jesus, bars up. Now, God's handing down indictments today. Would we be in trouble? Unconcerned. Drama. Leave these walls. Talk about drama. Time for folks off there getting back into preaching. Nearly all they're doing is hurting themselves. Time for folks off there getting back into preaching, but they're really just hurting their family. Drama. The time for folks appear to be one thing, but in fact, there's something else. Drama. That's what I say. Sometimes I'll just hang up the phone and I'll say, drama. You know, if it wasn't for drama, some folks wouldn't survive.
I think
it just keeps some people going. Yeah. I learned something. I learned a lot of Bible college. But some things you don't really learn them until you take the exam. Because, you know, they just fill your brain with so much stuff in 13 weeks, and then when you take that exam, it narrows it all down. Brother James, 25 questions. There's one question on that Proverbs exam that really stuck. And it was talked about, I believe, was something like, why are foolish people so spiritually mean? And it said, because the ears feed on what the heart loves. Ears feed on what the heart loves. Some people must love drama because that's all they need. That's all they want to hear. The more dramatic it is, the more elevated it is, the more outrageous it is, the more they like it. I mean, they can take something simple that happened, and by the time it gets told 10 or 15 times, it's gone from, I stuck a splinter in my finger, to I got my finger, I thought I was going to lose my finger, they thought they were going to amputate the whole thing. Oh my goodness, it turned all different colors and all kinds of weird looking stuff run out of it, and I had these pains shooting up my arm, and I couldn't move my arm for 3 days. But in reality, it was just a little splinter. Y'all know people like that. Hey, if you listen to that junk, be careful. You're going to be spiritually needy. That's junk food. Amen. That's junk food. That ain't going to help you none. That's junk food. Drama. How about this? How about this? What if your pew be talking? What will it tell on you? Things you've been doing while I'm trying to preach? Things you do while Brother James is trying to teach Sunday school. Things you do when you both be singing. You're sitting there right now saying, boy, I can't wait to get out of here. Don't worry, I'm almost done. By the way, a few knows what you're thinking. Boy, shit, God knows what you're thinking. Trust me, I'll sit there and say, boy, is he ever going to get done? Hey, is he ever going to get done with mercy? It takes a life, surely. He's bound to be about to them right now. You know, when a preacher says, and finally, they're in closing, you know what that means? Don't mean a thing. Just hang on, we're still going. Let me say this. I really am trying to wind down. What if the walls on your home can talk? Might be in trouble with it. What if your car can talk? What if that office or cubicle you have at work can talk? What if I could go home today somehow and punch up some numbers on my telephone and tap into a recording device and hear what you said about me on your way home to church? Do you want to eat barbecue preacher on the way home?
I used to say this to work. I'd tell the boys and young boys would be a little skittish, they'd be a little scared. And first I said, go ahead. I said, they kill you, but they can't eat you. And I said, if they do eat you, you can give them the worst case of heartburn. You eat barbecue, preach on the way home, I'll get you throw up all night. Amen. Now, what's God telling you right now? But seriously, I'm closing. What's God telling you right now? He told Belshazzar that his time was up. Somebody else is going to rule the kingdom. Guess what? It came to pass pretty quick to me. It wasn't until 2 or 3 years later. It wasn't 10, 15 years later. The way I read my Bible, it happened pretty much right away. Yeah. Look here. You may be saying right now, I sure am glad that you won't get caught. Yeah, I am too. But guess what? They don't have to. Because God already knows. God knows all about it. You can run, but you can't hide. God sees your every move. He knows what you got going on, even when you just, you know, the one thinking about it. You might not have even done it, you're just thinking about it. The Bible says, real seriously, now the Bible says you already seen it in your heart, don't you? The question is, simply this, you going to do business with God? You going to do